Hello, friends. Welcome. Oh, my goodness. I have my friend who I jokingly say that her name is Lindsay Letters. That's not her real last name, but her account is Lindsay Letters, and so I think of her as Lindsay Letters in my mind. She agreed to let me call her Lindsay Letters, and she's just going to call me Sharon Say-So. Like, that's my last name. So, oh my goodness. Y'all have got to hear this conversation about something remarkable from the state of Arizona. So let's dive in.
I'm Sharon McMahon, and welcome to the Sharon Say-So podcast.
I am so excited to have you here today, Lindsay. This has been a long time coming. I'm such a huge fan. I've been a fan of yours for many years.
So we will out-fan you. I already feel like my whole team, my best friends, our squad, we're just like the biggest supporters of you. Oh. We like need Sharon Say-So cheer uniforms.
So tell everybody if not already following Lindsay Letters, which everybody thinks is your real last name, and it's not. But I think it's fun to call you Lindsay Letters. Tell everybody what you do.
So I'm an artist. I am a graphic designer by trade, but I'm also a painter and a lettering artist. And I sell my artwork online at lindsayletters.co. I've been doing it for about 10 years in that regard. Mm-hmm. And before that, I did wedding invitations, but that seems like 100 years ago. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's one of my day jobs. My other day job is I'm a mom, and I get to communicate with people over the internet through Instagram mostly, although I'm like a grandma on the Instagram. I don't understand this new way of life with the dancing and the pointing to things and stuff, but
I like to joke that it's a long running joke that when I went on The Daily Show with Trevor Noah, he told me I was not a thirst trap. And I was like, oh, thank you. I'll take that as a compliment. I try to have a little more substance to offer. Like, this is not just me on a tropical beach in a bikini. That's thank not my you. Account. Yes, thank you. I'm not a thirst. Correct.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Like,
we can't all be thirst traps, Lindsay. Not everybody can.
No, we can't. No. I was telling you earlier that I woke up in the hospital today because my daughter Ava is there. She is medically complex and she's been in the hospital for a while. And I was telling the nurses that I had a podcast interview today, and they were like, as long as it's not on video. And I thought, like, it's not, but what if it was? So I clearly am not a thirst trap either, but I do love the community that we have through my business and through our mm-hmm. family. It's just been like, it's such a sweet space, but our Instagram feed is a total mess of like personal life. And then there's like, here's some artwork. Mm-hmm. It's like deeply personal. I'm crying in the car. And then it's like also art, like mm-hmm. also pretty things, mm-hmm. but that's life, right?
That's right. I personally enjoy it. I love seeing that mixture of things.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I have a fun story that I want to share with you. So, okay, we're going to go back in time, back to, you know, like World War II. Actually, we're going to go even back farther than that. And we're going to talk a little bit about the Navajo Nation in Arizona.
So have you traveled in like Arizona, Utah, Colorado, like New Mexico, like that Four Corners area?
So I lived in Arizona for a while, just for a year. Yeah. Ava was two. I grew up in Rockford, outside of the Chicago area, by a couple hours. And I am like a Midwest girl and never really traveled much. But when we moved to Arizona, we drove, and I remember feeling so grateful for the drive to kind of like have just woken up and been like, or gotten on a plane and now you live in Arizona. Just everything about it felt so different than my Midwest self, but to like drive across country and to see the landscape change before my eyes almost felt like my brain more could reconcile like how I got there. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does. It wasn't magical transportation.
Yeah. So driving through New Mexico is really where like, I couldn't believe it, the colors, and just like, I loved it. And I mean, Arizona, we just were totally smitten. The quirkiest, funnest place for us. I think you either love it or you don't. Have you spent time there?
Yeah. My husband grew up in Northern Arizona, up in the mountains. And I've been to Arizona a number of times, and it is such a unique place. Of course, I grew up and live in Minnesota. And so I'm used to my like trees and water and lakes and rocks. And so it does seem so, you're like, what is this now? This is a cactus? You know, like it just seems like, look at that.
Yeah, like almost that. Gimmicky, like cactuses in real life.
Yeah. Like this Disneyland version of cactus? No, it's real? Oh,
no.
Yeah, it is. It's such a different place.
But I actually couldn't believe Northern Arizona, how foresty it
was. Yes, very much so. Mountains, forest, they get four seasons. They get snow in the winter. It's definitely a misconception that Arizona is all just desert.
Yeah.
Going back to the Navajo Nation, which is the largest Native American reservation in the United States, geographically, the Navajo Nation reservation is larger than the state of West Virginia. So that just to give you a little bit of context about how large of a space that we're talking about. And again, some of it encompasses those different states, Arizona, Utah, Colorado, New Mexico. It's not just solidly within one state. And during the era of World War II, there were roughly 50,000 Navajo tribe members. Okay.
Sorry. So when you say Navajo Nation, I'm picturing a map and then it's overlapping these other spaces. So when you say Navajo Nation, what defines that?
It's a reservation.
It's a whole reservation.
Yes. Okay. It's a geographical designation.
That's gigantic.
That's gigantic. Bigger than West Virginia.
Yes. I didn't know if you were just describing the people group that inhabit that or if it was specifically a reservation, but yeah, that's huge.
Yes, it's a reservation. And of course, the Navajo are a people group. And they are a very ancient people group, like many indigenous people to the United States. They have documented history going back many thousands of years. In fact, there are places in New Mexico that have ruins older than the Egyptian pyramids.
Wow, that's crazy.
Isn't that crazy? We always think about America being kind of a young country.
Yes.
You know, we've only been here, you know, a few hundred years. And it's true, the Europeans have only been here for a few hundred years, but indigenous people have inhabited North America, particularly the southwestern portion of the United States, for many thousands of years. And one of the things that makes the Navajo unique in the context of this story is that they have a unique language, and they have a large group of tribe members. So during the 1800s, the United States, I mean, frankly, throughout the United States' history, that treated the indigenous people of North America very poorly, right? This is extremely well documented. This is not a secret that so many indigenous people were just wiped off the map for a variety of reasons, including contagious illness to which they had no immunity, including wars in which Europeans wanted to kick indigenous people off of the land that they wanted, including military crusades led by people like Andrew Jackson, who was, you know, a military general before he became United States president, in which the entire southeastern portion of the United States was subject to the Indian Removal Act, in which it was basically saying all of y'all need to get off of your ancestral lands, and in many cases have to walk through what is now known historically as the Trail of Tears, walk thousands of miles to the new place that they were designated to live, which is Indian country and what is mostly Oklahoma now. But it also, the United States set up this system of reservations, right, in which certain portions of land would be reserved to Indigenous people, and the rest would be fair game to other people who wanted to settle it. And very often those reservations were land that was not something that other people wanted to farm. And we also, again, without spending this whole episode talking about the U.S. history with the Indigenous people of North America, the idea that we removed children from their families and sent them to boarding schools in the effort to assimilate them into European culture. They had to cut their hair, stop speaking the language, dress in, according to European standards, convert to Christianity. So the Navajo Nation was very unique in that it was very large. When I say it was like 50,000 people, that was large by the 1940s. It was a large group of Indigenous people living together, and they had a common language amongst themselves. And so, beginning in the era of World War II, the 1940s, there were about 540 Navajo tribe members who served as Marines during World War II. But the reason I bring this up is there was this man in 1942, his name is Philip Johnston, and he was the son of missionaries, and he grew up on the Navajo reservation. He came up with an idea after reading a newspaper article about Native American soldiers in World War II. He later approached higher ups in the United States military with this idea that the United States could use Indigenous languages to North America as a way to communicate in the United States military in an unbreakable code. Have you heard of the Navajo Code Talker program?
No.
Okay, so that's what I want to talk about, is the Navajo Code Talkers. And of the over 500 members of the Navajo Nation that served in the military, about 400 of them during World War II were involved in the Code Talker program. So this is what a historian of this program had to say. He says, in the early part of World War II, the enemy, which of course were Axis powers, the enemy was breaking every military code that was being used in the Pacific. This created a huge problem for strategizing against the enemies. So of course, today we're like, well, who is listening in? You know, like we're so used to our text communications, right? That if you think about it, if you are sailing on a vessel on the Pacific Ocean, your means of communicating with your other vessels is with radios, right? Like you communicate with the radio, and you couldn't just be like, what's up, buddies? We're approaching this parallel and we're going to anchor there tonight. I'm making this up. Yeah. You couldn't just say these things.
You're obviously a natural at this.
I'm a natural at communicating via marine radio.
Marine radio.
Yes. But you couldn't just say those things. It had to be said in code, right? So that your enemies could not understand what it is that you were trying to communicate. Well, the problem was, is that the enemy was excellent at breaking codes. They were breaking every code the United States military came up with. And that put us in a very, very bad position militarily. If you can understand what your enemy is going to do in advance because you broke the code they were using to communicate, then that puts you at a vulnerable state, right?
I've seen a movie about this, about a break. I mean, not the Navajo Code Talkers, but about this. I feel like I'm an expert is what I'm saying. I've watched people break a code because there was a movie I saw some time ago and I can't remember, but I can visualize what you're saying.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And there are people who have a very specific skill set, like their mind works in such a way that it allows them to see patterns and to do this type of work.
Like a beautiful mind.
Yes. Yes. So Johnston goes to the Naval Office in Los Angeles to propose his program. And they were like, well, that is interesting. Why don't you go talk to this other person in San Diego? He gets referred to the Major Jones's office at Camp Elliott in San Diego. And in this proposal, I mean, like he wrote a proposal, he stressed that the Navajo people's extremely unique and unwritten language and their isolated geographic location made it a perfect fit to use in code. Why? Because nobody who lived overseas, nobody in Japan, nobody in Germany spoke Navajo. It was not a language you could learn unless you were a native speaker. There was no Navajo book because it was an unwritten language. It is unique to the indigenous people of North America, and it is unwritten. And so his idea was this would be perfect for military code. And additionally, because of the United States' history of sending native children to boarding schools, there was a growing number of people on the Navajo reservation who could speak Navajo fluently, but who could also speak English fluently. So the major that Johnston gets referred to is very skeptical. He's like, you know, it seemed like a weird idea. He didn't have any familiarity with this until Johnston invites him to like, let's just test it. We have guys here that can, you know, that speak Navajo. Let's try it out. And they brought in 4 Navajo speakers and asked them to demonstrate sending and receiving 6 messages that were coded in the Navajo language. And the major after that was convinced. And they began to develop a program that would codify the Navajo code talking program that they made a point of never, ever, ever writing down. None of this was ever written down so that in the event that somebody who worked with this program or somebody was serving on a naval vessel, that even if they were captured by the enemy, there would not be a book that they could, or a piece of paper that they could pick up and use it to break the code. So
it feels like it had to be such a very specific time in history, because it feels like if they had been teaching this for any longer, there would have been a textbook created for it.
Yeah, somebody would have written it down somewhere.
Eventually, right.
That's right.
And so, sorry, Johnston was not Navajo. He was the son of a missionary.
That's right.
But the generosity of the Navajo serving in our U.S. military were like, yes, we'll help you with this.
Yes.
To me, that is incredible. Like, my personality is like, did they ask for permission? Like, did they, and they were just such willing.
Can you just take our language?
Yeah. Like, you can be over, I would have been like, I don't know. That is just incredibly generous and so cool. And so, very specific to that time period.
Yes, very
much
so.
Any earlier, it wouldn't have worked. Any later, it wouldn't have worked.
So true. So true. What a unique moment in history. You're absolutely right.
Listen, I know if you pick up any kind of beauty magazine or you follow an influencer, there's like a new skincare product every single day of the week, and it can be really difficult to know which ones to even try, like which one is worth your money. And if you're tired of cycling through ineffective skincare trends and overcomplicated routines, you might be excited to know that one of today's sponsors is OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy. No complicated routines, just simple, scientifically validated solutions. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin. I especially like the eye cream. It's not too thick where you feel like it's going to clog all your pores, but it goes on really, really nicely under makeup. For a limited time, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your first OneSkin purchase using the code SHARON when you check out at oneskin.co. That's oneskin.co. Try OneSkin and enjoy younger, healthier skin without all the extra steps. That's oneskin.co, code SHARON. We've all had those embarrassing moments where maybe you've taken your shoes off and you realize like, oh no, that is not a good smell. Fortunately, Lumi Whole Body Deodorant is making it so none of us ever have to worry about that again. Unlike certain other products, Lumi is powered by mandelic acid to control odor in a new way. It delivers outrageous 72-hour odor control everywhere one might like to use it. In fact, it was patients' concerns about odor that originally inspired the OBGYN who invented Lumi. Fast forward 6 years, and her game-changing whole-body deodorant now has over 300,000 five-star reviews. And it works without using heavy perfumes that mask odor, which I really appreciate. Lumi's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, which is my favorite, and two free products of your choice, like deodorant wipes or a mini body wash. It also has free shipping. And as a special offer for listeners, new customers get 15% off all Lumi products with our exclusive code. And if you combine the 15% off with the already discounted starter pack, that's like 40% off their starter pack. So use code Sharon at LumiDeodorant.com. That's LumiDeodorant.com. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How is your social battery right now? Is it drained? Is it bursting with energy? Why are you feeling the way that you are? Do you not have enough boundaries? Are you less social this time of year? Is the spring sunshine starting to energize you? It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings starting to pick up after the winter. I know so many people who have benefited from talking to a professional in therapy. A qualified mental health professional can help you learn positive coping skills like monitoring and protecting your social battery. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Sharon today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Sharon. Not only did they have some members of the military who were Navajo speakers, they went and recruited more at the reservation. And in May of 1942, 29 Navajo men arrived in San Diego to participate in this program, to receive the linguistics training that they needed, not because they needed to learn how to speak Navajo, but because they needed to understand about military codes in general. And they began to set up a radio code program that was made up of words that were selected from the Navajo language and then applied to military phrases. So it initially featured 211 terms that would be used, and it later expanded to over 400 terms. Now, of course, the Navajo language doesn't have any words that mean things like about ships.
Missile? Or I would just, the words that they would have never had to use before. That's right. Good way.
Correct. Even again, if you're thinking about people that are indigenous to the American Southwest, they don't have a large vocabulary related to water. The ships, different types of ships, aircraft carriers, you know, all of these things. They did not have, a one for one. What's the Navajo word for aircraft carrier, Like that's not a thing. They needed to develop a specific set of codes that made sense to the native speakers. They began to try to think of ways that they could make it make sense in Navajo. So for example, a ship, the Navajo words that they used for the word ship meant sea force, like ocean force. Something related to a patrol plane was the Navajo word for crow.
So again, that is the general idea. And they had to learn, there's this like 17 page booklet of how codes work. And so they had to become very familiar with how codes work because they couldn't just go on the radio and begin speaking fluent Navajo. There's a very specific order that things have to be said in. And again, it has to be understandable to the mostly European Americans who are receiving the messages. Right?
So yeah,
that's the other thing, is that other people had to learn what the code was. So they took Navajo words and assigned them English letters so that things could be spelled out. You could spell things using Navajo words. So for example, we think about like acrostics of like Lindsay is lovely, intelligent, etc. Like the letters of your name, you right. have a word for each mm-hmm. of those things. Mm-hmm. They did that with Navajo words, and they assigned Navajo words English letters so that people could spell things in English using Navajo words. And it's again, like, nobody speaks Navajo.
A huge whiteboard for this program.
Yes, yes, yes. That program eventually expanded. They eventually Amazing. Created 44 different sounds that had different Navajo words. And during the development of this Code Talkers program, the Marine officials were stunned at how quickly Navajo Marines could transmit, receive, and decode messages from other Code Talkers, much faster than receiving a coded message that they had developed in English, because it was almost like having a one-to-one conversation for native Navajo speakers.
That's amazing.
So no other form of military code before or since has ever been as fast or as accurate. That's and because so cool. it was so successful, they then began recruiting other men. This program eventually swelled to over 400 men. And so out in the field during World War II, half of the original 29 Navajo Code Talkers were shipped overseas to join the U.S. Marines, who were really prepping the first offensive move in the Pacific, which is at Guadalcanal. And they were the first sort of place in the field to demonstrate that their code could be successful. They were sort of assigned in pairs to a military unit, and one person would operate the portable radio while the other person would relay and receive messages in the native language and then translate it to English so that the other people on the ship could understand. And this was extraordinarily difficult because Japanese soldiers would purposely target officers, they would target medics, they would target radio men because those were integral to the functioning of the ship. Mm-hmm. So Code Talkers had to keep moving as they translated messages. You could not just be like, I'm going to sit here in this office and work on this.
Pull up a seat at a coffee shop. Just figure it out.
That's right. You had to continually keep moving so that you would be very difficult to target. And they were literally translating code while moving through Pacific jungles. Is that not incredible?
I can't compute that. It's not, there's no anything else in my life that would make me understand. Right.
No, there is no, like, I don't understand it.
Just in their minds? Is there?
That's right. Like, there's nothing written down. They did all of this in their minds without writing anything down, because writing it down is what part of what made it dangerous. Writing it down is what would make it breakable. So they're walking through jungles, translating code on behalf of the United States military.
Yes. It's mind blowing. Yes. There's nothing else that's mind blowing.
Isn't that so cool?
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win. And also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
So they had to do all of this in real time in their minds, like as it's happening in their minds. And here's what one of them said about, you know, having worked on this project. We acted as coding machines, transmitting messages that would have taken a couple of hours in just a couple of minutes. Navajo code talkers who were part of the Marine Corps landed on the beach in Iwo Jima on February 19th of 1945. One of the code talkers was in the first wave of attacks, and five more would later follow as the invasion sort of progressed. And they're doing this while being shot at, right? Like they're facing mortar rounds. They're doing all of this absorbing and translating of these coded messages.
I mean, I'm like, I have to write down my three things I'm getting at Target. Like that.
Right?
Like that.
So right?
I'm just picturing any of the war movies I've seen and like traversing that jungle and then just.
Yes, that's right. And during the course of this assault on Iwo Jima, Kotaker sent and received 800 coded messages, and there were zero mistakes during that.
Say that again.
Like zero mistakes. 800 messages while they are carrying out an invasion and being shot at. Is that not incredible?
That's incredible. And just to think, I hope that they felt just such a sense of pride that the Navajo Nation got to have offered this language as such a service, and then to be able to have just like done it, you know. I'm such a, my friends listening to this are probably like, I like credit and I like to be able to celebrate of like a win and like just to be like, look what, like we offered this thing and it worked and we did it, we did such a good job. But then to also be doing that under extreme stress,
like extreme conditions.
How do you get trained for that? Because I would imagine being in the, like in the figure it out part of the language and the code and all of that would be like, yeah, you're writing it down, you know, what, workbooking it with all these people in the room, but to be practicing it, deciphering it in a jungle under extreme, like not pressure, but like you might die. You might die. You could have just lost a buddy a second ago. I can't like, and not just that, like we're talking about one man was able to do this, but but like a hundreds. Yeah.
Yes.
Hundreds of men. That feels unworldly to me. That's.
Isn't that incredible? Amazing. Yes. Yeah. So the Navajo code is the only spoken military code to have never been deciphered. And I think that is just like, that is just something that is so special. But here is the other thing. We continued to use Navajo code talkers during the Korean War and up into the beginning of the Vietnam War, but it was completely classified. Of course, you could not tell a soul that there were Navajo code talkers. The people needed to not know about that, because if they knew they were Navajo, then they could try to figure out something. They could, you know, kidnap somebody, or, you know, they might have had tools to be able to decipher it, but they did not know that they were Navajo. And so this was 100% classified. People who participated in it could not even tell their families that this is what they did. One of them said, when we got out and were discharged, they told us, this thing that you guys did is going to be a secret. And when you get home, you don't talk about what you did. and they were not allowed to discuss it for over 25 years. The American public didn't know. Their families were not allowed to know. They were not allowed to go home and be like, I feel amazing that I was able to participate in this way. And it was not until the 1980s when Ronald Reagan issued a certificate of recognition to the Code Talkers and proclaimed August 14th as Navajo Code Talkers Day. It was not until the 1980s that the American public became aware that this was even a thing. And so then in 2014, Arizona passed legislation declaring that every August 14th is Navajo Code Talkers Day in Arizona. And in the 1990s, they got an exhibit at the Pentagon, and they were honored for their contributions to the defense of the United States. The display had like photographs and equipment and portions of the code and a small explanation of how the code worked. And, you know, there was...
So was it just unnecessary? I guess this could be a dumb question, but like, why do we know about it now? Why is it just the technology made this?
Yeah, we don't need it. We don't need the same kind of radio communications because we have satellites now.
Yeah. And so since that was in the 40s, I mean, that population of people that actually participated is, you know, older. Mm-hmm. And
that's right.
Well, talk about delayed gratification in that regard.
Yes. Yes. In 2001, all 29 of the original Navajo Code Talkers were awarded the Congressional Gold Medal. And there are four that are still alive. And their names are Thomas Begay, John Kinsel, Samuel Sandoval, and Peter McDonald. They're all over 90 years old. One of them gave an interview in 2021. Peter McDonald did. And he said, "What Navajo code word do I want our Navajo young people to never forget? Nihima." And I hope I'm saying that correctly, which means our mother, which is the code word that we used for America. Isn't that amazing?
I mean, we're just like misty-eyed, both of us, but better people than I think I could be in that. I mean, I guess there's no way to know, but they gave their actual, and you know, they gave their actual lives and what they had, you know, after having so much taken from them, that they're that to offer your language. I can only imagine how personal that is, and that they, like, I don't know, did that for us.
I love what you just said too, that they gave what they had. They weren't, you know, that, and what they had was incredibly valuable. And it might have seemed like nothing. Like, I grew up speaking this way. Like, this is not, I didn't make it up, but it's what they had. And what they had was
after giving so much.
That's right. Yes. Or fun little fact, which was in 1999, Hasbro released like a G.I. Joe figurine that was of a U.S. military Navajo code talker.
That's great.
And it said seven phrases in both Navajo code and English. And they're out of, you know, they don't make them anymore, but you can find them on eBay and things like that.
Oh, I mean, interested. We should have like bought those before this podcast, put them on your merch store.
That's right. That's right.
Put them with your merch.
Oh, Lindsay, this was so cool. Fun. It was so fun to share this with you. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Well, thank you. And I am like, I really am so blessed to hear this story. I'm like dumbfounded by it. It's crazy to me. It's going to stick with me and probably most of your listeners for a long time. But I was telling you before this aired that I just, one of the reasons my team and my friends love you so much is because you take what you have and you offer it for good. And that's, you know, one of the reasons why you have such good developed community of people that love you and love what you're doing. Like, that's just something that you practice. And I think in a world where so much stuff is wrong, you just have done it before people were paying attention, even that you're like, this is what I have to offer and I'm going to use it. And then other people are like, okay, well, this is what I have to offer, even if it's small, and just to watch that play out. So I think it's such a cool story for you to share because you're already doing that. And that's why we love you.
thank you. Tell everybody where to find you, because I want people to see your beautiful artwork.
Thank you. Well, so it's sold at lindsayletters.co. And of course I'm biased, but it's just a fun shopping experience. One of the things I'm really passionate about is just how to make shopping on the internets feel like funner and more personal. So you pick out art and then you get to customize it the way that you like it. And we love getting to see it in everybody's homes and how they can make it their own. So it's paintings and lettering, and you can find it at lindsayletters.co. And we have a code and it's Sharon Says So.
Exciting. Thank you.
I know.
Thank
you for the code. We thought really hard about how to make that so it's unique. And it will get you 15% off. So
thank you.
Yeah, 15% off for your listeners. So we'd love for people to pop in and check it out and hope that they love it. And thank you again for having me.
Oh, this is truly a pleasure. Thank you, Lindsay.
Thanks on behalf of all the people that know me. They're all, tell Sharon thanks. Thanks for letting you come on.
Oh, we'll talk soon.
Okay, thanks, Sharon.
Thank you so much for listening to the Sharon Says So podcast. I am truly grateful for you. And I'm wondering if you could do me a quick favor. Would you be willing to follow or subscribe to this podcast, or maybe leave me a rating or a review? Or if you're feeling extra generous, would you share this episode on your Instagram stories or with a friend? All of those things help podcasters out so much. This podcast was written and researched by Sharon McMahon and Heather Jackson. It was produced by Heather Jackson, edited and mixed by our audio producer, Jenny Snyder, and hosted by me, Sharon McMahon. I'll see you next time.